Memories from our childhood can often get mixed up or muddled as nostalgia wins out over everything else.
Legend City has magic, boss.
And other new attractions like over 75 varieties of food, over 25 rides, and our tropical stockade island.
The Tempe History Museum might help you clear that up on Thursday, or you could just feel sentimental as a panel talks about the Legend City Amusement Park, which closed more than 30 years ago, and Big Surf. Dan Miller is exhibit coordinator at the Tempe History Museum.
I've lived here since 1968, so I certainly remember Legend City. In fact, I went there. I don't remember a lot about it, but I definitely had been there a couple times.
Can you describe it in a minute or so, like what it was, what sort of rides there were?
Wallace and Ladmo did a weekly stage show at the Lagoon Amphitheater. And some of their anecdotes, we had Wallace at the museum several years ago. Gerald would get the kids so mad that they would have to go lock him in a car, otherwise the kids would probably, I don't know, drown him or something at... But I have this long list of rides.
My name is Sergeant Rick, and I'm going to be your guide down a roaring, raging, and treacherous. Have you not seen the Moon River for where? You will be ever returned alive again. You'll never come back. You'll never see civilization. I never come back. No one ever comes back. You ever come back, Sergeant Dave? Ridiculous. We never come back. So wave goodbye to civilization and the smiling faces on the dock. Goodbye, Mr. Tomato Soup. We'll see ya. Wish us luck.
They had a Lost Dutchman mine, a penny arcade, a theater, a railroad, an antique car ride. It looked like the real cars. Sky Ride, that was kind of a big gondola thing that went over it. I certainly remember that. Burroughs, Crazy Cups, those spinning gizmos. Legend City, right at the end of its life, had Compton Terrace there. Compton Terrace was opened by Stevie Nicks's dad, Jess Nicks. He opened it there in 1979, and through 1983, Compton Terrace, as an outdoor rock and roll venue, was at Legend City. And I remember going to a Grateful Dead concert there and falling asleep on the grass, but that's here now.
And why did you fall asleep then?
Yeah, the Grateful Dead would go into these very long, they called it space jams or something. But
so you didn't have the munchies or anything?
No, it was laying on the grass in the sun. I won't go any further than that.
It was our Disneyland. I mean, I went there as a kid a lot. Sometimes just to ride the rides, sometimes because at the time I was, and my mom has the pictures to prove it, I was in a Mexican folk dancing troupe, and so we played the Lagoon stage, alternating with Wallace and Ladmo.
The Arizona Republic's Richard Ruelas says Legend City started as a place that emphasized a cowboys and Indians theme, one that would make a lot of people uncomfortable today.
I think it was a product of its times, where that's the way, for better or worse, and probably we would argue now worse, the culture viewed the Old West at the time. Us versus them, cowboys versus Indians. We actually saw the same thing happen when Rawhide, the western village up in Scottsdale, they had some of the same sort of politically incorrect themes around Rawhide, and they had to scrub those when, ironically enough, it moved to the Gila River tribal community. Legend City had some of those, but again, as the western theme faded over the years, there was very little Western theme left.
Big Surf is also on Thursday night's discussion docket. Again, Dan Miller of the Tempe History Museum.
I was in a band, kind of a mellow rock and roll band in the 70s when I went to college. And we actually played at Big Surf for a high school graduation party. I think it was something like Camelback High School or something like that. And I just remember setting up kind of right near the sand and the waves are rolling in and all these... high school kids are drinking punch and trying to dance with their favorite girl. It was a lot of fun.
But as a concept, what makes it stand out?
It was financed by Clairol, and I think it was like this whole big surf thing, like the Beach Boys, and probably was bleached blonde hair Clairol was sponsoring. So they got way big into this whole... So they did the first indoor wave surf area, wave pool in the United States. It was designed by Phil Dexter, and... The same mechanisms that were put in place in 1969 are still there operating. They're pretty cool. It just got a historic mechanical engineering landmark this last year. So, gosh, in 1990, they had exhibitions and competitions. So it was really and actually a surf destination.
How important is nostalgia to what you do? When you put together exhibits like this and other folks in the museum, how much is it about grabbing people's childhood memories?
Well, we've certainly seen that in our, we have a Facebook page that just opened up, and we'll put notices of these cool events. But if we put an old photo on there, people go nuts, especially if it's something from the same era, 60s, 70s, and 80s, back when folks were like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, 15. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I ate donuts there. Our history doesn't have to be a Conestoga wagon. It can be 1970s Big Sur. It's a valid bit of history, too.
Tomorrow night's event at the Tempe History Museum is called Sports and Playtime. It'll feature memories of Big Sur, Legend City, and the Kiwanis Wave Pool, and it's free.